instructions, including plain terms, modified terms, compacted as results, and bearing references, and the remaining licensed terms and similar adjustments are subject, of course, to question from court.
This is what's not in part of the agreement, is what we have to sign and expect to sign. If you were to adopt the course instruction and bearing references, for example, would you refer to the final judgment, or is that only relevant to the preliminary injunction?
Correct. The construction of the agrarian reference terms is relevant to the preliminary injunction, but it's also relevant to the infringement on the demand.
I thought agrarian references went to the PI. I'm with Judge Dyke.
That's right. It does go to the PI. But if the court were to find that the claim construction on the agrarian references was wrong, then it would go back down.
Well, suppose we decide it's right. Would that be a ground for affirming the final judgment? Or
no.
No.
No, not at all. Because the final judgment related to the Redmen only consented that there would be no infringement if the construction of the modified terms was affirmed. If the construction of the varying references is affirmed, but the construction of the modified terms is vacated and changed, then Redmen would go forward with the present construction of the invariant reference term.
So in your view, the only ground to confirm the final judgment is if we agree with the district court's construction of modified terms. If we disagree with that, then we go and reach the preliminary injunction, and then only then we decide the construction of the invariant reference.
That's correct, Your Honor. But I would also suggest that the court should proceed with the additional terms regardless of how the
advisor.
Well, I wouldn't suggest that it's an advisory opinion. I would suggest that these five terms, the modified terms, the invariant reference, the compact difference result, and the two other terms directly related to infringement. But not to the judgment. I would say indirectly to the judgment.
Is it because your stipulation is driver-handed? Is your stipulation because the Google accused device does use symbolic code, and so what the district court said, there's a disclaimer and it applies to all of these terms, and the disclaimer excludes symbolic source code and text, that would be the end of the story. Is that the reason why you have the stipulation?
No. That's not the reason why we have the stipulation. The reason why we have the stipulation is the construction of the modified terms doesn't read on anything. Doesn't read on preferred embodiments, doesn't read on any embodiment. And it would not read on what Courgette does, because Courgette it's not a program that's in its original, doesn't have modified programs or modified data tables that are in their original executable form of references in place.
Executable or just original form? Does the Google product not have something in its original form as well as not being in its original name?
I would say more that the Courgette does not stay in its original form, certainly. And it doesn't stay in its original executable form either.
Okay. So the stipulation is not in the original form.
That's
the crux of what we have to be willing to reverse in order for it to go back.
That's correct. And the district court's instruction of...
So just to be clear, I just want to make sure I'm real clear. So I were to agree with you that it doesn't require executable, but it does require original form stipulations will stand.
If the claim term remains in its... and requires that the inputs or the original, the new program and the new data table need to be in their original form.
But don't have to be executable. Well, because you may argued, well, the program may have to be executed, well, the data table doesn't have to be.
That's correct. That's correct.
But so if the data table, though, may not have to be an executable program, but does have to stay in its original form, your stipulation still stands, meaning you're still stipulating to not infringement.
That is correct, Your Honor. Because there's, I can't standing here today, I can't think of an instance where the new and old data tables would be in their original form, but for references being replaced.
See, part of the problem that we're having here is the stipulation discussed this in J. And in J.
Yes.
You're supposed to have a stipulation which relates to the product so we can figure out what the meaning of the stipulation is. How does this claim construction render this particular product or method or system non-infringing? And, you know, you just say, okay, we agree that this support claim construction is correct and we affirm, but we need to understand how the claim construction applies to the product. That seems to be what's missing.
Well, I would suggest that Jane case is very different. The stipulated judgment there didn't even identify the claims at issue. Counsel for both parties.
It's very different. But you need to understand how the claim construction applies to the product. In order, you can't, deciding those questions in the abstract is extremely difficult. I understand, and I think this relates to what Judge Moore said, that the Google approach uses symbolic logic, right?
I would suggest that the Google approach breaks down the original inputs, breaks down the new and old data tables, parses them, disassembles them, creates frames, but that's not symbolic. Well, I would suggest that it indexes them and converts the numeric code to symbolic references in the same way the patent describes, to convert numeric references into labeled
logic. It uses symbolic logic. Right?
It uses what I would call invariant references as disclosed.
How does it use symbolic logic?
Yes.
All right. So the question then is, was the district court correct in saying that this terminology, the modified terms, exclude the use of symbolic logic, right? And that the district court reached that conclusion based on the prosecution history.
No, that would be incorrect. No. I believe, Your Honor, because in construing the modified terms, if you look at the construction of the modified terms, the court is not saying anything about symbolic code. Nothing. That has to do with the construction of the executable program and that, but not the modified terms, not what it means to be a modified old data table, a modified old program. That he's not there excluding symbolic code, symbolic in the sense of source code. What he's saying, what he did say in constructing the modified terms, he says that the programs have to be in their original executable form, but for references being replaced.
I think I'm having an aha moment. Let's see. Are you saying it can't be symbolic in the input? That's all that you gave away. You didn't say it can't be symbolic in the modified, because heck, you're using labels. You're disclosing using labels.
Labelify
is very nature of a symbol, and so that's not what we're seeing excluded.
Correct.
Clearly, only you can't start out with a table that is all symbols or any symbols.
Which is source code. That is exactly what I thought. I would suggest that so what Judge Moore is saying is correct. What if you're referring to the file history, the way the applicant distinguished the Okazumi reference and other references, and said Okazumi just deals with source code inputs. Start with source code programs. Here we don't. This invention has to do with numbers, not symbolic code. way it works is we break down the numbers into symbolic references, into label marks, into invariant references. So it's quite different from RRI, and that's the only limitation that we place on the invention, if you want to claim the invention. But to get back to your original point, Judge Dyke, about the stipulation, we do believe that there is enough description of courgette in our briefs and in the appendix, and we actually cite the script we describe courgette in connection with the injunction motion to give the court a sense of why it is that courgette would not infringe if the court affirmed the construction of the modified.
And that is because what?
Well, and that is because courgette. That's before courgette. The modifications made to courgette are not in its original executable form, except for references being replaced. That's why. So we think there's enough for the court to rule on the stipulated judgment, and not so much to provide an advisory opinion regarding the meaning of terms, but because they're so directly related to infringement, to, and because they're wrong, and because we're here, we do think that it would be in support of the judicial economy to rule on the five terms of issue. But I do think it's important to point out why it is that the court's construction of modified terms are incorrect, and that is because they did not read on any embodiment, not just any preferred embodiment, but any embodiment. And we point this out on page 4 of our reply, but even the figures Google points to the modifiable programs do not remain in their original form because they add label marks. And in fact, there's no embodiment that would qualify under the court's instruction for modified terms. And because of that, it's powerful evidence that it's wrong. The other, second reason why the construction of modified terms is wrong is because, as in the CARA case, when the inventor wants to use the word replace, he did so, and he would have used the term replace explicitly in the asserted claims because he knew how to use that term as he did in the unasserted claims. We do feel that there's no disclaimer, if you were pointed, there's no disclaimer anywhere in the specification of the file history which said, the prior art is so close that we have to have these modified programs or these modified data tables need to be in their original executable form. That never happened anywhere. Another reason why the court's instruction was incorrect. We also think that the court's instruction of the modified terms was wrong because he
limited the parentheses, right? That's what we're talking about, is what form of progress is in parentheses.
What forms programs or data tables have to be in when they're input into the DIF algorithm, into the tool that's used to check the differences between the old and the new program. But the particular form.
In your view, they don't have to be an executable form when the comparison is made?
In our view, it doesn't matter actually what form they're in when the comparison is made. So long as the changed numeric references are changed and modified into symbolic, or what we call invariant references. That's the key to this invention. The inventor stepped back and said, what's causing these large diffs? What's causing the large diffs? If the shift in the numeric references, if I could get rid of somehow this shift in the numeric references, and make them go away, if you will, in the generation of the disk, do that by reflecting the chain of references as embedded. So they disappear and they go away and they won't recognize it. I see that I'm out of time. I did want to reserve a couple of minutes.
We'll give you 2 minutes for about 5 minutes.
Thank you, Your Honor. Say please record. The beginning of the court's analysis, and perhaps the end of the court's analysis, is whether paragraph 9 of the stipulated judgment, which refers to the definition of the modified terms, if you endorse that construction, the modified terms, then we're done. We don't have to get to the preliminary injunction. We don't have to get to any of the other terms, because that is the basis in consideration of Jang, and then the Hometica case. That's the basis for the entry of the judgment, providing the court with a specific term and a specific factual predicate. And Courgette operates very differently, as Judge Woodluck found. Courgette is not about exclusion, which is the central part of the patent. The patent identifies what changes due to additions and modifications and omissions, and it makes a comparison, and then it excludes those things to decide what is the difference. Courgette, as Judge Woodluck found, and what has been abundantly stated in the record, is not about exclusion, it preserves everything. It preserves all the things in source code, and it has to operate in a world of source codes. The disclaimers are clear. For example, the appendix of 8750, in responding to the Okazumi concern, the applicant said, in extracting the diff between two versions, there's no source involved. There are neither statements nor any textual or other symbolic representation of the program even exists. And they go on and on and on to say that their invention doesn't even remotely consider or approach what happens in Okazumi with symbols or with statements or any textual references. We need to operate for this invention in the world of the original executable format. And that's what this invention does. It takes the old and the new terms and it modifies them in that format with one thing in mind. And that one thing in mind is to find these corresponding references which change due to additions or deletion. And that's all that it does. Courgette's quite the opposite. If the court focuses on that one claim term, the modified claim terms, and agrees, then the work of the court is done.
If I understand the difference between and I may not understand, but your opponent is saying, well, if you start with an executable programming, that's enough, it doesn't make any difference as to whether that's converted to something else, the way Courgette does. Whereas you say, when you actually get to the point of making the comparison, you've got to have executable programming, not just
that is one of the points of differentiation, Mr. Chairman.
So, yes.
Well, it's clear that it should be clear from their disclaimers of Okazumi. They said in extracting the div, there's no source involved. And then they go on, they don't stop there. They say there's neither statements nor any textual or any other symbolic representation.
But
the
labels are themselves symbolic, right? Labels are symbolic. That's not an actual register entry, it's a symbol.
A label might be symbolic, but they go on to disclaim that nothing in their system can be symbolic, and so it's limited by their statements during the prosecution.
But the invariant references always employ labels, and so you're not saying that they. I'm a little nervous that the construction that you're suggesting is what the district court adopted would actually render none of their embodiments within the scope of their claim.
Labels are symbolic, so to that extent, at least they must be symbolic.
To that extent that there's a label, but a label is also defined as an invariant reference. And to the extent they are trying to operate in something that is outside of an executable format, other than to put on a label to designate something, We're talking about the version, so that was the construction of the modified old term. The version?
I'm sorry, I just don't understand that, and I want to understand.
Certainly.
So their argument, as I understand it, is of course they did it on the plan anyway, but assuming that that's wrong. So then their argument is, we disclaim something, but what we disclaim, if anything, is the use of symbolic code in the thing you start with, not in the modified thing that is being produced or the process of making the modification. Am I misunderstanding their argument? Is that what you think they argued today?
I think that's the first time I've heard that from Red Bend. And what the court found and what is supported by the
I'll be honest with you, I have a lot of trouble trying to understand this case from a technological standpoint. You know, I'm not completely unaware of what one's doing. You know, I have a very modest amount of knowledge in that area, but it's very difficult to understand. Like, for example, when I read the disclaimer, I'm like, they can't really be defining all symbolic use because they themselves in every single embodiment use labels which are symbols. That can't be what they mean. Like that. And that's why I'm trying to understand what did they mean.
I don't think that that's what they mean. I think what they mean is when the corresponding entries that change only due to additions and deletions are identified in the original executable format, then a label might be attached to it to say this is what we are calling an invariant reference. And that's all that does. It's not an analysis of it in a symbolic representation, or nor does it use symbolic. So we are working from the original program, we get to the modified program, and what is happening there is that this comparison, the identification is done, what's changing only because of additions and deletions, and then there may be a label, there may be something that says this is what we're going to call the variant reference, but it's all operating and it's all analyzing in the executable format. So
let me back up. So are you saying that you can use symbols, but only if you use labels, and you can't use symbols otherwise?
That's the only place where it might come in. They are analyzing it. They are doing this process all in the original executable format, because that's what they have displayed.
For the invariant reference.
Well, the invariant references are still, I believe, in an executable format. There's something that says this is an invariant reference, and as we look at the claims, the difference result is generated by the old program and the new program. Having some very references, those are excluded.
In order for you to prevail, we have to decide this, which is quite frankly kind of confusing to me. Or could you prevail by just showing that the Google product isn't in original form, and therefore all the claim limitations are out? It's not relevant whether it is or is not going to symbolic logic. You just show there's no original form. I mean, it takes this thing, it breaks it into eight strings, it does all this stuff. What you have is not the form that the input started with.
Yes, Your
Honor. So that would be a basis upon which you could prevail that if you were successful, you would even need to reach all of it, exactly what they disclaimed to be the symbol.
Yes, Your Honor.
This is an original form either, because they created the general reference.
No, it's a version in the original executable format, and all that they've done is they've made this corresponding one-to-one connection, and they say these are the invariant references. They exclude them. They have the modified old and modified new tables or executable programs, and the native tables being constrained by what they've said in prosecution history in response to Okazumi. And then we have.
Your response is, I just understand, is original form is original form, not identical.
It's a version, that's
right. So it doesn't have to be identical, it just has to be the same form.
That's right. There was a reference to the Kara case and what the court should do with regard to disclosures and the like. And I just want to note the Kara case, which I believe counsel was counsel involved in that case. It's different. That was, what is the key? What is the construction of the key? And that case did not have the very rich background of the disclaimers as we have in this case. In this case, we have 11 pages submitted refuting Okazumi and saying time and time again, this doesn't remotely approach or resemble Okazumi. This is all done in a world of executors. and that clear language is quite different to CARA. This case is all just following what the court has done repeatedly since the Phillips case, even before Phillips. So we're looking
for the trouble. It is very difficult to understand both sides of briefs because you don't do a very good job describing the technology and how it relates to the plant. So that's why we're having problems. And, you know, when you do a stipulation like this, there ought to be some explanation as to why under the plant construction doesn't infringe something that you can't get.
Well, the one thing that the parties could agree on in negotiating the stipulation, obviously it was a stipulation of judgment, was in paragraph 9 with regard to this one issue on the construction of the modified terms. So we have a whole different set of viewpoints than they do with regard to the construction of the other terms. But that's the one that was presented in the stipulation, frankly, with the Jen case and Homedics in mind, that we needed to provide something to the court, and that was something. So, but Judge Woodlock, we believe, got it right. He worked very hard on the preliminary injunction. He has 55 pages of paper, and he looks at the declarations, and he says, this is how Corvette operates. There are no invariant references. It doesn't exclude specifically, but it preserves all the things in there, the term that he uses, unique references. But everything is in there, and then it maps things out and does a logical analysis to decide what should be in a contact, in a different result. That's quite different than this system, which is an invention based upon exclusion. With regard to the preliminary injunction, Your Honor, we have asserted that the court below should be affirmed on that. It's an abuse of discretion standard. The court is very clear, very careful in its analysis of the evidence. And in fact, there can be no irreparable harm. There's no showing of it. Certainly, Google is a solvent defendant, and should Google not prevail ultimately, although we think it will, there's money damage.
I don't think there's an exception for solvent.
No, but there's no danger that the money judgment won't satisfy, or money judgment won't be satisfactory to compensate them. And one of the instructive things is that the preliminary injunction issue is 2 years old now, and there's been no activity to apply for any other injunctive relief or any other kind of relief from that. They've not applied to this court, and in fact, I'm not sure what this court would do if it disagreed with the preliminary injunction denial. There's nothing really before this court, so we think that that should be affirmed as well.
Okay.
Any other questions? Thank you, Your Honor.
I heard counsel say that nothing in the system can be symbolic in response to warnings, so be nervous about that. I'd be very nervous about that because it would exclude all the embodiments from that. All of them. Because they all.
Because the invariant references are symbolic.
Yes, the label marks are symbolic. That's the whole point of the invention, turning executable inputs with Okazumi and not, because Okazumi source code inputs, and that's what we distinguish. So we start out with executable inputs, numbers, and we turn it into symbolic label marks. We turn it into invariant references. We have different forms. We have data structures. We have the translation table. It's all to turn what starts out as executable and make it symbolic so the changes don't have to be reflected in the difference.
One thing, I mean, that's kind of contradictory to your data table argument. You argue the data table claim. You argue the data table doesn't have to be executable.
That's true. But the data table has to, what they do have are numeric records. If everything starts out with numbers.
And distinguishing source code or...
Exactly. And that's exactly the point of what was distinguished in Okazumi. We're not trying to recapture Okazumi and having source code inputs. We start out with numbers and we change it into symbolic.
Well, but the disclaimer, when we want
including if,
well, let me get the rest. We have a whole description about how the invention is different because Okuzumi is the source code, and we start out with numbers. And in distinguishing claim one, unasserted claim one, which has executable code, we say Okuzumi is source. This is executable. Symbolic, it said, there is no source involved in the star. And neither statements or any textual or other symbolic representation of the program even exists in R's inputs. That's when we're talking about R's. We say Okuzumi is source code. We have numbers. We don't have source code inputs.
Okay.
So